In my previous hour, we considered the fact that Israel's continuance in the land and Israel's continual blessings, which were all earthly, physical in nature, tangible, carnal, not in a lewd sense, but carnal in the sense that these were blessings that could be seen, that could be heard, blessings that could be eaten, and blessings that can be touched. The fact that they were going to stay in the land and dwell in the land and enjoy the bounty of the land under one overarching requirement, as we saw in the last hour, they were not to forget their God. They were not to forget him. And they were not going to be lured by those nations that, unfortunately, because of their own disobedience, the people of the remnant of these nations who were conquered but not fully destroyed as God wanted them to, these would become what? Thorns and snares in the sides of the nation, if you will. And unfortunately, in time, Israel did, unfortunately, begin to assimilate the doctrine, the teachings, the idols, and the behavior of the nations that were around them. And therefore, they were destroyed from off the land. Yes, they were. So the idea that Israel was going to be in the land forever, well, that forever has had some major gaps in Israel's history. But as I mentioned in several lessons back, not only were the sacrifices a type and picture and a shadow of Christ who was to come, not only was the high priest and his priestly garments pictures and types and shadows of the greater high priest who was to come, not only was the temple and tabernacle furniture that was made types and pictures and shadows of the person of Christ and the work of Christ, I also brought to the table, and many people do not make this connection, unfortunately, that even the land upon which Israel would rest upon itself was a picture of a much greater and better country that is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11. What was Abraham and all the patriarchs looking for? Dirt and a marble building? No, according to the divine inspired writer of the book of Hebrews, Abraham and all of those great men and women of faith that are categorized in Hebrews 11, they were looking for a better country, a more heavenly city than the city made of dust and stone and brick. Well, in this hour, I want to bring another point to the table to prove that Israel did achieve all her land. And we're going to look at the three eastern tribes that were found on the eastern side of the Jordan River, the tribe of Gad, Manasseh, and Reuben. Remember, in last week, when we looked at the cities of refuge, the first three cities of refuge were already established before they crossed over the Jordan by those three tribes being given by lot their land, because the land was very fertile and would provide much grazing for the cattle found amongst these three tribes. Remember all of that lesson? But as we will see here this morning, Joshua made a requirement upon the men of war, the men old enough to go to war from those three eastern tribes. And that's what we're going to study here this morning. Take your Bibles with me and look at Numbers chapter 32. For those of you taking notes, it's going to be imperative that you list these verses for you to go back at a time of convenience and then look at them yourselves. Okay? I tried to put these in order to the best of my ability, all right? Numbers chapter 32, Numbers 32, here this morning for our text. This sub-message is entitled, Mission Accomplished, Go Home. Mission Accomplished, Go Home. Verse 1, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. So this was ideal pasture land. And I would imagine that we have to include more than just the cattle, probably the goats and the sheep as well. Apparently, this was ideal pasture land if you were in the livestock business. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying. So, a entourage or a representation of these tribes, these two tribes, come before Moses and Eleazar the priest and the judges. And let's see what they're going to do. Adarot, Dibon, Jasher, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elah, Shebam, Nebo, Beon. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, say they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Now, this is the first time in chronological order, from what I can gather, that this request is being made by at least these two tribes. So if you look at the map, okay, here's the Jordan, right here. And we're talking about this land right here that parallels the river, the east side here. They're telling Moses, they're telling Eleazar the priest and the judges, the men who apparently are sought after to make crucial decisions, we don't want to cross over the Jordan. We like it where we're at, right? Does it not say that? Verse 5, wherefore say they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servant for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Again, are you a Bible believer or a Bible doubter? That's what my Bible says. They don't want to cross over. They want to stay put. Now, drop down to verse 16. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. So apparently the request is granted. The request is being granted. You tribes can stay on the east side, and you don't have to cross the Jordan except whom? The men of war. And what was Moses' requirement now to them, in order for them to keep themselves on the east side of the river, because the land was ideal for livestock herding and maintenance? It says, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel. Now look at that verse 17. When was mission accomplished going to be achieved? Until we have brought them, the other tribes, unto their place, which is going to be on the west side of Jordan, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. What is verse 17 saying? These tribes make a request. Apparently the request is being authorized or granted with Moses' approval, Eleazar's approval, and the other men presiding over this big old decision. But there seems to be a stipulation here that the women and the little ones would stay on the east bank of the river, hunker down in their fenced cities. Why? Well, it seems as though a sizable portion of the male Gadites and the male Reubenites and also the tribe of Manasseh, those men ready and able to go to war were going to cross over the Jordan and fight alongside the other members of the nation or the other members of the tribes. Until when? What does your Bible say? Not Dr. So-and-so, not Dr. Such-and-such, not even me. Let's look at it again. Until we have brought them unto their place. So the implication is, once the land was fully conquered and the boundaries fully met by covenantal promise by God to Abraham, Genesis 15 and onward, the men of war were to return home to their wives and their little ones and their flocks. So here's the question. Was it ever, ever achieved? Well, let's read down to verse 23 for you students. We will not return unto our houses, underline, until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. What does that mean? I think it means exactly what it says. I don't need Schofield. I don't need Tim LaHaye. I don't need Hal Lindsey. I don't need John MacArthur. I don't need anyone's study Bible. I don't need the reference study notes at the bottom of any man's Bible, clear as the nose on my face. When were the men of war to return home? Based on verses 18, when mission was accomplished. Job well done. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side, Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until, underline, until he had driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, underline, then afterwards ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure, your sin will find you out. You've heard that statement before, right? Look where it came from. Now, how much clearer can I be? I can basically close my Bible right now and say, sermon done. But we're not done, because I got to prove this to you from the scriptures. Okay? So far, we have seen the following facts from the scriptures. Listen carefully as we kind of bring this in and begin to tie this bow neatly into its knot. Number one, God gave promises by covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about a land that their natural seed would eventually acquire. Two, this same promise was reiterated by brother Prime Minister Joseph prior to his death in Egypt, Genesis 50. Three, Moses was reminded of this same promise of land in Exodus chapter 6. Four, 40 years later, Moses reminds a totally new generation of Israelites of the same promise in the book of Deuteronomy. Five, once established in the land, they were to set up cities of refuge, which they did. The first three being on the east side of the Jordan. Three cities. You have the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the Manassehites on that side of the Jordan. Five. Well, I jumped too far. I'm still on number five. Forgive me. Once established in the land, they were to settle up cities of refuge, which they did, thus establishing the fact that the promises were realized. I showed you last week where the first three were on the east side of the Jordan, and then eventually in the Old Testament scriptures, we found out that there were three other cities eventually established on the west bank or the west side of the Jordan because the land had been achieved. Sixthly, This is all by way of review. This is what we have learned just by doing the study of the Abrahamic covenant and all of the things that were to be eventually realized, which they have been, or which were. Number six, God outlined the extent of the land which was actually realized in Joshua's day, regathered by David and peacefully enjoyed by Solomon. Let's go back to that Joshua chapter 23, please. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 23. And what does the scripture say? Once again, Joshua 23, verses 14. I don't know how clear God can be. And yet, my dear friends, I've had people sit in this congregation, mumble, get mad, walk out, because I insist the scriptures teach the land was finally realized. But they will go and listen to the teachings and the traditions of other men holds more weight than Holy Scripture. And they call themselves Bible believers, but they're not. Joshua 23:14, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls. Notice, you know this in your hearts and in your souls, that not one thing had failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing had failed thereof. Beloved, that means everything about the Abrahamic covenant. The land, Abraham becoming a great nation, which they are now, becoming like the sand of the beach, the dirt of the ground, and the stars of the sea, the stars of the heaven for multitude. I've showed you clearly from the scriptures that was all achieved, all spoken of in the past tense. Seventh and finally, by way of review, as we saw in the last hour, their stay in the land was predicated on their obedience. It was not an unconditional, open check to poke heaven in the eye and yet remain in the land. So, what says the scriptures? I want to know, you may want to know, whether I can prove from the scriptures that the requirement that Moses placed on these men became a reality. If I can prove that to you from Scripture, then my argument holds more water than where you stand here this morning in some of your positions. However, God the Holy Spirit chose to provide more ample evidence, evidence either brushed aside, rejected, or downplayed, in order for certain men and certain people to maintain a man-made scheme of twisting the Scriptures in order to bolster their Christian Zionist position. Before I go any further, let me read to you something. Charles C. Ryrie, in his book, now listen carefully, you've got to pay attention. Charles C. Ryrie, in his book, quote, "The Basis of the Premillennial Faith," unquote, says, "The Abrahamic and the Davidic covenants have not been fulfilled." So, beloved, I'm not lying, nor am I stretching the rubber band here this morning when I tell you that there's a certain element within the professing church that will advocate that none of the Abrahamic nor the Davidic covenantal promises have ever been realized. Really? What have we been reading and studying for the past weeks, several months? He says, quote, "The unconditional character of the Abrahamic covenant is the crucial issue in making the Abrahamic covenant a basis for premillennialism." Whoa. So Charles C. Ryrie, a leading proponent of the premillennial dispensational scheme, says uncategorically that one of the basis, one of the foundations to the premillennial position is the fact that the Abrahamic covenant never realized and the Davidic covenant never realized. Really? What have we been unfolding lately? Either Ryrie is wrong, or then you have to make the conclusion that God the Holy Ghost got it wrong. And we ain't going there. If the covenant is unconditional, then the national aspect of it must yet be fulfilled. And premillennialism is the only system of interpretation which makes a place for a national future for Israel in which he possesses her land. Again, on page 60 of that book, he says, quote, since the covenant has never been fulfilled in history, if language means anything at all, it must have a future fulfillment, unquote. And among the things God promised Abraham, which have not been fulfilled, he says, specifically the national promises. He says there has been three dispersions of the Jews. The third and the last dispersion began in AD 70 and continues to the present day. Israel has not yet returned from this dispersion, although the prophecies of her final regathering are manifold, which prophecies must be fulfilled if the Bible is the word of God. Israel's regathering is surely future. Well, he's the one that makes the statement. He's the one that throws the gauntlet down by saying that since they never got into the land, these national promises were never realized, then apparently we're still waiting for all of these fulfillments, which I've been showing you from the scriptures, according to what scripture says, were already realized by the time of Joshua, by the time of David and Solomon. My word. Hold your place here. Let's go back to 1 Kings, what, chapter 4? Yes, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 4. For those of you listening and those of you that may have doubts and fears that I'm wandering off here in some heresy, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 4. This was my verse to call to worship before we started. Look at verses 20 and 21. Here's a verse I would like to see a modern day premillennialist try to unravel and unpackage these two verses. Listen to this. Judah and Israel were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude. Well, that got fulfilled. According to Charles Ryrie, this was never fulfilled. But what does my Bible say? I think I will bank on the Holy Spirit and lay aside Mr. Ryrie's comment. Eating and drinking and making merry. Wow. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river. And check me out, Bible students, don't be afraid to be Berean. That implies the Euphrates. Unto the land of the Philistines, that's way down the coastline there of on the east side of the Mediterranean, and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. Beloved, check me out in verse 21. Go back to Genesis 15, 18, if you are a real Bible believer, and you will find out that the boundaries delineated by God to Abram in Genesis 15, 18 are the same ones mentioned here in verse 21. Ryrie says the national promises were never realized. My Bible says by the reign of Solomon, it was a reality. And you can give me all the buts, and you can stutter, you can stammer, you can pound your chest, you can stomp your feet, and you can whine like a child. Your argument and your disagreement is not with the preacher man. Your argument and your disagreement is with God the Holy Spirit. That's the one that you have chosen to fight against. You have chosen to submit yourself to the teachings and the traditions of men more so than God the Holy Spirit himself. And that's a shame, and that's a travesty. Are you ready to go with your pastor? Are you ready to take this journey to find out whether the men achieved, mission accomplished, and they were allowed to go home? Now, by way of quick review in your own mind, you answer right now, under what condition, under what stipulation, were the men of war from those three tribes, Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh, under what stipulation, what requirement laid down by Moses, were they only allowed to go back to their wives and their little ones? And the answer was what? When the other tribes had achieved their inheritance and the land was subdued, right, and conquered, then they were allowed to go home. That's what your Bible says. The question is this morning, did it ever occur? If so, when and where? Ready? Joshua chapter 1. Let's now continue in our chronology. We looked at Numbers. Now turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. You jot these verses down, you go back and you study them. Turn off the internet, turn off all the other distractions that you listen to, submit yourself to the Word of God, maybe for the very first time in your public profession of faith. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, underline, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God had given you rest and had given you this land. Cross-reference, Numbers 32. So Numbers 32 is number one. Joshua 1 now is the second verse in chronology. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Underline, when were they to go home? When were the men of war allowed to go home and be back with their sweethearts and their babies? Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he had given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then, underline, then, and only then, ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan towards the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, underline, we will do. And whithersoever thou send us, underline, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, Joshua, and will not hearken unto thy words, Joshua, and all that thou commandest him, Joshua, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage, Joshua. Now let those words sink in. Let it sink in. Don't be afraid to open up your eyes and your heart and your mind to what God says. You seem to open up your eyes and your minds to whatever man says. You bow down to these men as if they are popes, as if they are infallible, that they might not ever be wrong. Well, beloved, I can be wrong, and guess what? Other men, other scholars and experts have proven to this day still to be wrong. For a long time, we were told in order to heal a person's disease, we just simply bled them. When your Bible says the life of the body is in the blood thereof. Just because an expert says something doesn't mean it's true. We got experts telling us right now, we got less than what? 12 years to live before we all become a French fry and the world just turns to a big ball of fire because we're going to burn ourselves with global warming. Well, back in 1974, they were crying out of a coming ice age. Sheets of ice would start crawling down from the Arctic, covering up the northern and southern hemispheres, respectively. Well, guess what? We're still here, and the ice never made it. This argument, or this agreement here, was made prior to Israel's crossing the Jordan. Here Joshua wants to remind the three tribes living on the east side, the men of war, remember the words Moses and you agreed to. I like that verse 15. Until the Lord had given your brethren, the other tribes, their rest as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then and only then ye shall return unto the land of your possession. Now at this point in the book of Joshua, they've not crossed the Jordan yet. They've conquered no one on the west side. the nation, the priests, the tabernacle, the people, and Joshua, they're still on the east bank. They've not yet crossed. But Joshua now takes time to remind the men of war of these eastern tribes. Consider carefully when this obligation was to be finished. Look at that verse 15. Look at your Bible. Take your eyes and drop your two eyes on the page of God's holy, inspired, infallible word in verses 15. It tells you when the men of war were allowed to go home. Again, what of the text that we read this morning back in Numbers chapter 32 verses 16 to 23? Several tribes eyed out the rich pasture land for their own cattle, and they requested that they be given this lot of land. But Moses places a condition, did he not, upon them? What we read earlier there in Numbers chapter 23. Did he not? And the requirement is quite plain. If and when your other brothers and sisters acquire their land, when the mission is accomplished, then you can go home. Well, for those of you who advocate the land was never conquered, then you must draw the conclusion based on your hermeneutical twisting of Scripture. These men never went home, and their wives remain widows, and their children became orphaned. That's what you would advocate. If you're going to be consistent on your interpretation of your hermeneutical approach, then these men never went home because the mission was never accomplished. And those women died without a husband, and those kids lived their lives without a father's love or a father's influence. And I want to know how many of you who disagree with me right now are willing to make that decision in your hermeneutical scheme. Turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Notice what you find here. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Look at verses 12 and following. Deuteronomy chapter 3, look at verses 12. And this land which ye possess at that time, from Arior, even which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh. So now we're talking about Moses doling out these three tribes with their respective possession. All the region of Argob with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Jair the son of Manasseh took all the country of Argob unto the coast of Geshurai and Maacanthah, and called them after his own name, Bashan Havot Jair, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Machir. And unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites I gave from Gilead even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border even unto the river of Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. The plain also in Jordan and the coast thereof, from the Chicherethit even unto the sea, which is the lake of Galilee, of the plain, even the salt sea, that would be the Dead Sea to the south, under Ashdod Pishgah, eastward. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God had given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over armed, ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. So notice who was to go over from the three tribes on the east. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that ye have much cattle, shall abide in your cities which I've given you until... underline, until the Lord had given rest unto your brethren as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which your Lord hath given them beyond Jordan. And then shall ye return every man to his possession which I have given you. Has anything changed? Has God reneged? Has Moses changed his mind? Have the three tribes rose up in rebellion and telling Moses, well, now that we got our parcel of land, we don't feel obligated now to go over and fight for our brothers and sisters. No. Now, why I brought you here, this is number three in these list of verses. This shows you the division of the land. All of the boundary markers for those three eastern tribes. The tribe of Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh. But again, my dear brothers and sisters, I look at the ending of verses 18. Ye shall pass over on before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war, but your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that you have much cattle, we've already learned that so far in this series this morning, shall abide in your cities which I have given you. Now, for those of you who tell me that the Abrahamic covenant was never realized when it comes to the land, you have a problem, not me. And here's your problem. When were the men allowed to go home? Until the Lord have given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God had given them beyond Jordan, and then shall ye return every man unto his possession which I have given you. So those of you who would disagree with me, and vehemently disagree with me, because you're more faithful to men's traditions and the doctrines of men, and not to the Bible, because you're not a Bible believer, you're a Bible doubter, then in your position, if you advocate they never achieved the boundaries promised to them by God, then these men never made it back home. I'm going to prove you wrong from Scripture. And if I can prove you wrong, then the Bible's right, and your position is a bogus, unbiblical, unwarranted position. It's man-made, not God-made, not God-inspired. Here the tribes of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the Manassites are to be given their lot on the east side. Focus now, once again, your attention. I want everybody hearing me here and those on the internet. Focus your attention on verses 18, 19, and 20. Spend a few seconds on your own. Take your eyes. Take the brain that God gave you and begin to think and ask the questions. Who's speaking to whom, why, when, where, and how? What is Moses telling these men? You're going to cross over. You're going to be armed. You're going to be assimilated into the armies of Israel. And we're going to conquer everything on the west side of this bank of Jordan. And when the other tribes are given their land, then you can go home to your missus, and you can go home and play hide and seek with your kids. Is that not what Scripture is saying? Is it saying anything else? Am I leading you down a primrose path of heresy? Well, according to your Bibles, when will the men of war's obligation be fulfilled? You got to answer. I've already achieved my answer by looking at the text. When were they supposed to go home? So now the final question is this. Did the men of war ever get back home to their wives and their little ones, to their cattle and to their pasture? Are you ready to be a Bible believer, maybe for the first time in your Christian sojourn? And I say that with no apologies. Because, see, I got the Bible on my side, and most of you out there, you have the word of men that's fallible. You want the answer? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Joshua 22. See, beloved, when you have the answers from the Scriptures, it gives you a whole lot of assurance and a whole lot of confidence to look your adversaries in the face and show them where they're wrong and to do it with courage. Ready? Everybody's following along with the pastor here. Men of war were allowed to go over to assimilate into Israel's army, go off and fight, help their brothers and sisters to achieve their land. The question is, was it ever achieved? Well, here's my answer. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ready? Underline. Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God had given rest unto your brethren, as he had promised them. Therefore now return ye. Underline. Return ye. And get unto your tents and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law. Now notice, their obligation has been met, which means, beloved, according to your Bible, not me. According to your Bible, according to what God had written down by inspiration, they were only allowed to go back home when the mission was accomplished. And I'm showing you from Holy Writ, the mission was accomplished. They fulfilled their obligation. The land that was promised to Father Abraham finally was finally divided up by tribal lot to the river Euphrates, down to the river of Egypt, and everything in between. But now, when these men are going back home, Joshua says, time out. Take diligent heed to do the law, the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to cleave unto him and to swear and to serve him, with all your heart and with all your soul. Beloved, that is the same song and drum beat that is laced through the whole book of Deuteronomy. Notice, they had the same covenant obligation of the men and women who were on the west side of Jordan. Notice, these men, when they went back home, they were under the same covenantal responsibility and obligation to God Almighty when they went back home on the east side of Jordan. And this is conditional, as we saw in the previous hour. When they went back to their land on the east side, it was not like you can live any way you want to and God's going to simply smile upon you as you poke him in the eye. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. I rest my case. So Mr. Ryrie is wrong when he says they never achieved their national blessings and their national covenantal extent. He's wrong, dead wrong. Because here's my proof. My proof doesn't come out of a commentary. My proof here this morning, as I just gave you, very, very carefully this morning, line upon line, I simply gave you the words of God to show you that God's word was finally achieved. The promise of God to Father Abraham finally realized. Finally realized. Well, let's turn now to Joshua chapter 21. Let's conclude with these verses, which I've given before in this church. And you watch the people in their seats squirm and huff and puff and mumble under their breath because it doesn't align with the doctrines and the teachings of men. Shame on them. Are they a Bible believer or are they a Bible doubter? Ready? Look at verses 43 to 44. How do you hear this? What say you? And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers. What does that mean to you? Do I need Hebrew and a Greek dictionary to decipher these words? And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers. Well, Mr. Ryrie then is wrong. And he says that this particular aspect of the Abrahamic covenant is paramount to the foundation to the premillennial dispensational scheme. So we have just blown his foundation from under his feet. And they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he swore unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. Now, how do you handle verse 45? I've read this before, and you can see the eyebrows tensing up and the mumbling under the lips. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. Underline, double underline, triple underline, all came to pass. What does that mean in your book? What say you? How say you? I need a lexicon to decipher that. If you hear me this morning and you still reject what I'm trying to give to you, beloved, you no longer disagree with me. You are taking your battle before the very King of Glory. You have chosen to wage war against God Almighty, and you in the end will lose. You will lose. Because in essence, you are calling God a liar. In essence, the men that you listen to as the experts and the scholars, you are banking on their feeble, fallible lips. And you have chosen to reject the very words of the living God. Shame on you. So before you hurl your insults, and before you hurl whatever, you need to sit down with these verses and you need to have a war with God over these verses and come to submit to him and him alone. Joshua 23 verses 14. Once again, Joshua 23 verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one good thing had failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning unto you. Are come to pass unto you, and not one thing had failed thereof. You're going to call Joshua a liar this morning? You're going to cause the Holy, you're going to call God the Holy Spirit a liar? Then you're a fool. You are a fool. And then finally, 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. I hope you've enjoyed this little series about the Abrahamic promises. Oh my word. All fulfilled, right down to the T. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 54. 1 Kings 8, 54 to 56, when the temple was dedicated. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all his prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stopped and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that had given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servants. What does that mean to you? I don't need a Hebrew or a Greek lexicon to decipher those words. I may not be the brightest light bulb when it comes to English, but my trusty King James Bible speaks very clearly and very plainly. According to Solomon, according to Joshua, everything was fulfilled in its proper time. And does it need to be refulfilled? We don't need another temple built. We don't need another earthly high priest slaughtering animals and shedding blood to make an atonement. We have a high priest. And we have a temple, the house of God, the true Israel of God, the church of the living God, whose head is Christ, whose bride is his body, a kingdom of priests and a nation of priests and a kingdom of kings. 1 Peter 2:5 and 2:9. Well, beloved, may God choose to bless his word. I know this goes against the conventional popular position. Just because something is popular doesn't make it right. Okay? Just because something is popular. Popularity is never the measure of truthfulness. The question is, does that position measure up with the scriptures? I've just given you the bold, unadulterated word of the living God. Now you must do something with it. Twist it to your own destruction, or submit to it and confess to God you have held the doctrines and the traditions of men more above the word of the living God. May his name be praised.